So last week, remember what we talked about last week? Some of you might remember. We talked about offense as the enemy's trap. I think we gave you an article I read. I think I wrote that in 2010 or 2012, I think. I gave you an article back then. And somehow I was felt to teach that. And in fact, I didn't actually look at that article. I forgot I had it until my wife showed it to me. I said, I could have had that article. I could have went on that, used it. But thank God I didn't get it because it brought me to something new. Everybody likes new. So we're talking about how to overcome that. And so let's go to our Bibles this morning. If you don't mind, turn with me to, first of all, if I can get my thing going here. We want to talk about offenses and disagreements and how to overcome offenses and disagreements. Overcoming offenses is what we're talking about. Let's go to Acts chapter 15, verse 39. I'm reading the New Living Translation. The New Living Translation. This is talking about two guys, two leaders. Talks about here two men that had a very bad disagreement. Anybody ever had a bad disagreement with somebody? One time or another. And so he said their disagreement was so sharp that they separated Barnabas, John, Mark, with him and sailed for Cyprus. And so here we see a disagreement. People got angry, resentful, and they were offended at different things, and they separated. And you know, we said to you from last time we discussed, the enemy will try to separate you, and he'll use offense as a trap to keep you in his hole, so that you can do what you're supposed to do. So here's the idea I proposed to you this morning, what I want to give to you. God wants us to be in peace with each other. God wants us to be in peace. God wants you to be in peace. You know, when you're not in peace, it's hard for you to find God. If you're full of turmoil, you're full of anger, full of resentment, it's very hard to find God's voice. And that's why people have a hard time, because their conscience has been seared. They've been so hurt, and they can't obey God because they're too hurt. And so they're stuck. They're offended at one another, and because their prayers didn't go the way they should or whatever, and they get mad at God, and they can't go ahead. And many of us have fallen to that trap. We're stuck. And we blame everybody else, and because maybe we haven't really learned some things where we should, and got ourselves in trouble. Let me read to you Proverbs 17:9 in the Amplified Classical Bible. It says that he who covers and forgives an offense seeks love, but he who repeats or harps on a matter separates even close friends. You know, keep bringing it up. Keep bringing up the past. You remember that time you hurt me there? Or just, you know, you're stuck on something. You're afraid to do something. There's a lot of people that are away from churches or fellowships, and the devil's got them right where he wants them to get away. The Bible says that Jesus said that devil, the enemy, he'll try to separate you from the rest of the flock. And they'll get a hold of you, and keep you in their within their grasp. The good news says regarding that same verse, Proverbs 17:9, if you want people to like you, forgive them when they wrong you. Remembering wrongs can break up a friendship. You know, I don't know. That's hard to live with that if you have a husband or a wife that can't forgive you. Amen? It's hard for somebody to live with somebody who's always, they already marked that down. They always say, you know, listen, I'll forgive, but I'll never forget. And Pastor Higgins says, if you're still thinking about it, you haven't forgiven. Right? If you keep bringing it up and keep harping and thinking about it, then you haven't really forgiven. Now, forgiving doesn't mean you'll never think about it, but you never use that against someone again. And you could never write, if someone ever wronged you, you could never undo it. It's done. But only forgiveness in the blood of Jesus can erase it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for His forgiveness. His mercy endures forever. So we all need to remember disagreements and offenses will happen in life to all of us. You know, right after this service, maybe you'll have a disagreement with somebody here, or even with me, because you didn't hear what I should say. Jesus Himself said offenses are sure to come. We read that last week in Luke chapter 17, 1. He says, then He said unto the disciples, it's impossible that offenses will come, but woe to him though they whom they come. You know, they'll come sooner or later. You know, Paul talks to Timothy over in Timothy, I believe the second chapter. He says, some people, when they come to church, Paul tells young Timothy, when people come to your church, he says, you're not going to know them right away. The bad qualities of that person is not going to show up right away. But if they hang around, they follow them because they let their guard down. And the same thing with good things. Good skills. Some you might not know someone right away that they're good at something. Sometimes, you know, but you'll know them as you find. Hey, you find out. Hey, this guy is good at this or whatever. It said that both ways. And it takes time to realize, you know, to make assessment, proper assessments. So, Jesus said they'll come. So you can be sure offenses will come because they don't always. See, you know, we don't always see each other eye to eye. We don't always see and agree with everything. And it's not going to always be the same. You know, we said, well, I thought we agreed that this was going to happen. Yeah, but I changed my mind. You know, why are you changing your mind? Well, I'm free to change my mind. And then there's a fight goes on. But we should be ready. So if it hasn't happened to you yet, it's just a matter of time. So there's two things, as we mentioned last time, to consider. First of all, there are people legitimately who've been offended by somebody. Either they've been full out, someone went out to hurt you, or they've hurt you in a way. Sometimes we get in the way, you know. But anyway, so those think they misunderstand, they've been misunderstood or they misunderstood you, and they've taken offense, and they've gotten hurt. So let's talk about, first of all, I just want to talk about disagreement we talked about in our scripture earlier, because Paul and Silas had a disagreement. And I want to read you another version of scripture after that talks about what happened to them. You read the King James or any other scripture sometimes, it doesn't give you a real good picture when you just kind of read over it and gloss over it really quickly. That's why you have to study the scriptures. So the word meaning to, another way to say disagreement means, it describes it, is to have an argument. So Paul and Silas had an argument. And, or another way you can say they had a fight. That's another way to say it. Or they had a controversy. They didn't see eye to eye on something, especially about this man called John Mark. And sometimes you're the one that caused the offense, and you got away from it. And so it says there was also another word for disagreement is a misunderstanding. Some word, use the word quarrel. I don't hardly ever use that word quarrel, but I've heard people say quarrel. Or they say a spat. And another one is a wrangle. Or a tiff, a squabble. Those are just modern words that people use. So most of the time when you disagree, there's usually feelings of hurt And then these hurt feelings become so hurtful that you'll separate from people, and you just don't see eye to eye anymore. So you don't fellowship anymore. You don't have those great times together. So these offenses are hurts, as we mentioned, and it's when we get disappointed in each other, and because we disagree, whatever, they disappoint us. And we are offended because we're disappointed. I read somewhere yesterday that somebody said, I'm usually late when I go somewhere. But yesterday I made sure I was there, but no one was there. And so he was mad because they didn't show up, but he was there. And usually he's late. Well, now he knows what it feels like to be late. And somebody put a kind of a meme or some picture yesterday on their Facebook, and they said, there was a man standing at the door like this, looking out a window with his bag. This is what it means, I'm ready when you pick them up. Instead of waiting, you go pick up somebody, they're going to, I forgot my eyelashes, I got to go to the bathroom first, my phone, whatever it is. No, you're ready, right? So that's the way it should be. And so many of us are offended with people like that. So they can come from expectations we have, and these feelings can trap us from moving ahead in life. And so Paul's instructions to Timothy over here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24 and 26. Let's go ahead and read these scriptures. He says here, a servant of the Lord must not quarrel. See, there's that word we saw earlier. When we have disagreements, we have offenses, there's some kind of quarrel going on. It could come up to that, but sometimes people are quiet about it, they just keep it in, and then they blow up somewhere along the line. But they must be kind to everyone. Let's say, kind to everyone. Come on. So everybody here, the Bible says you should be kind to everybody, not just your favorite friends. That means even your enemy you should smile at. But don't say underneath, I'll get you later. So be able to teach. So this is a servant of the Lord. If you're going to work in the ministry, especially here, you've got to be kind to everybody, able to teach, be patient with difficult people. Is that hard to do? It's hard to do, but it's possible to work with difficult people. Now, I've been working with you, and you've been working with me, so it must be working. Right, Pastor Ken? He's so difficult. I'm glad your mom gave you a licking when you were a kid. Showed you. But she's here this week, and I'm planning on helping her do some. Okay, so gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Perhaps God will change those people's hearts and they will learn the truth. They will come to their senses. Ever notice when you have a quarrel, you lose your sense? You lose your mind. Somebody wrote me a note the other day. This dog, I went ballistic. I lost my mind with this dog. So when you get mad, you lose your mind, right? I know Miss Grace loves this because she's been losing her mind, right? she's a little quiet. She thinks, oh, what a lovely lady. Don't get too close to her. Okay, so I'm just kidding. I love you. Anyway. Now, they will come to their senses and escape the devil's trap. This is what we're talking about, the devil's trap. You get mad and you stay mad for a long, long time. And you like to kind of stay away from people for a while. I had someone the other day phone me. They're demanding all kinds of things. They don't come to the church. They've never given a dime here. They haven't lifted the finger. They haven't really prayed. They haven't prayed for us. They just kind of just flat out someone out there called me and they want something. I want you to do this. I was trying to be nice. I said, okay, we're going to do our best. We'll try to help you out. So anyway, got mad at me and hung up the phone. Get the phone back. So anyway, that happens. So I you know, you can't be mad at somebody like that, right? So this is what happened. So it says here that so they have been held captive. Can you see that? They're held captive, and to do whatever the devil wants. So sometimes, you know, we think we're doing good, but listen, you might be doing the devil's work if you're held captive. People don't like to say that. They don't like to deny it. I'm okay. I've been mad at him for so many years, you know. But, you know, it can happen. Like, God wants peace in your home. God wants peace at your office. He wants peace in your business. He wants peace in the marriage. He wants peace in the church. He wants peace in the helps ministry, in the working with people, and so on. God wants peace, because when there's no peace, you can't do nothing. It's hard to work together. So they lose their heads because they disagree. Now, according to, as we mentioned last week, Thayer's lexicon, that the Greek word for offense is scandalon, which literally means a trap stick. A trap stick, you know, when you put a wire or a string to a stick, and you put a little trap, and an animal goes there, and you pull it, and it goes in there. That's exactly what the word means, a trap stick. So the enemy, he wants to trap you and hold you captive. So you might not think, oh, I'm okay. But, you know, hey, he's there. He's very sneaky. It's like Ernie. They call him Mr. Gimoch. He sneaks up back there. There's an illustration I heard about a monkey. You ever hear about the monkey who got trapped? There was a monkey. They said, I'm not sure if this is true or not, or this is scientific or not, but it sounds really good, so I thought I'd share it. A monkey, they said they want to trap monkeys, and I'm not sure where it is, but could be in some kind of country where they have these little monkeys. So they would put some kind of shiny thing inside of a kind of a box where you could actually stick his little skinny hand in there, big enough, and so that object, the shiny object, can't fit through the bars of this trap. And so the monkey would go there, and he'd like to get that shiny object, and he'd stick his hand in there, grab it, and try to pull it out. And he'd try all kinds of ways to pull it out, but he's stuck. But he gets so excited. He gets so enamored, so engrossed with that object about getting that out and wanting it, he gets stuck. And so the hunter comes by and knocks him on the head and gets that little monkey. So who knows? Let's try it. It could work. We don't have monkeys, but we sure have some that's really verified looking like a monkey. No? So we do get trapped in these offenses. Today, many people, even churches, sometimes a whole church is trapped in an offense. They're mad at one person, and the whole place they're all upset because of something, and they can't let it go. And the whole place is all messed up. And so these are things. So we gave you a little bit of a quick assessment of how you know when you're offended. Well, here's some things on a practical scale. Sometimes you could actually, somebody gets offended at someone, and they tell you the story. Now you're offended. You're mad at that person because you heard this person's story, and it's only one side. They only told you 50% of it. But there's always two people. They say there's always three ways to the truth, right? There's the right way, wrong way, and your way. But so here, let's see here. Let's look at this again one more time. You can tell you're offended when sometimes you may be jealous at someone else's experience in life, how they're getting along. You say, well, how do they get along, you know? How come I don't ever get what they get? You're offended at the fact that they're blessed. You get angry. Maybe you get angry about what somebody else said, and you're still stewing about it. You feel comfortable when your name is mentioned or when you see them. You still have that feeling. You know, you don't have no peace in you when you see them. Maybe you're still offended. And you don't go to the same places you used to go because that reminds you of it. You're still stuck in it. You feel uncomfortable. You sometimes feel resentful and angry when they get blessed. Sometimes you backbite that person. You talk negative about that person or that event. And you rehearse that over and over. Or that person's, whatever they did to you, you mention it over and over. You know what someone did to me? I'm going to tell you what they did to me. And so you need to get rid of that. Right? And rehearsing that over and over and over. So Romans 12:19 says that you could read a different version, but I'm reading this in the TPT translation because it gives us the kind of the wording we would talk about today. It says, beloved, don't be obsessed with taking revenge, but leave that to God's righteous justice. For the scripture says, vengeance is mine, and I'll pay, says the Lord. So you can't go, because you're mad at somebody, you can't go and set up something so that they'll be hurt. God doesn't want us to go and make somebody hurt because they hurt you. You hurt me, I'll hurt you. And so we spend all the energy and all the time thinking about doing this, which is going to, you know, be really bad. So Jesus said, Matthew 24, many people in the last days will be offended. So that's the spirit that's happening all over the place, even now, because the Bible says that the spirit of Antichrist is at work right now in this world. And by the way, we are in the last days. We don't know how close we are, but it says we are. I mean, just read the scriptures. In the last days, you see that term over and over in the New Testament. Jesus talks about last days. Now, the last days he's talking about to the Jews is when he comes back another time. See, he's going to come. The first time he's not going to set foot here. He's going to just take the Christians, right? Those who believe. But he's coming back another time. And, you know, things are going to happen there too. So, Luke 17, as we read last time, 17:1, he says, stumbling blocks, this is Amplified, says, stumbling blocks, temptations, and traps set to lure one to sin are sure to come, but woe to judgment is coming to him from whom they come. So, yeah, the devil is pretty smart with that. Bringing that, gives you another thought of anger, and you rehearse that for a little while, and all of a sudden you're back in it again, keeping you where you were before. And Jesus said in Mark 4:17 that people are offended at God. People get offended at God. Over here, let's go look at this version. I like this in the Amplified Bible. And these people who are taking in the word, like everybody hears the word, and listen, let's say this. In this, I could be teaching something, but everybody's understanding what I'm saying in their level of understanding. Because we grow in level spiritually. When I say something, somebody in their 20s hears something from somebody who's 50. When you say something to a kid who's 7, in their minds they make things up. They make assessments or judgments or whatever, assumptions, because you say something and they're off. They have to. That's the way your mind works. It'll put something there. It'll make something up. So sometimes when you preach something, if you haven't heard this message again, you know, you're hearing it for the first time maybe, or you hear it again, and it makes more sense. So you can teach the same message over and over, and people get it another time in another way. Or you could read a book, and you read it again 2 years or 5 years later, and you think you read the book, But there's so much more in that book that you never got because you've grown and you've understood things more, right? So I don't know. I never went to school. When I went to university, and all of you did too, went to school, I didn't go to one class and learn it all. Whatever courses I took class after class after class after class, first year course, and then the second year is the same course, but same program, and I take another course in it, second year, then in the third year, then in the fourth year, then the fifth year. This is still the same subjects. So 5 years, there's some courses I took for 5 years. And that's when I was in social work, I took all these courses until I did my master's. And of course, you kind of specialize. And it's the same material. But sometimes a little bit more, you get more deeper into it. So as far as some things are concerned, just because you read a book on offense, you heard one subject on it, or one teaching on it, doesn't mean I know everything about it. Right? So you've got to hear it over and over again. And one of our teachers at Rhema says, Brother Hagin healed me of redundancy. He said, I thought he taught this last week. And so he heard the subject again. He says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He said, you just saw one side of the mountain. That there's many sides to a mountain. And you just saw it on the north side. One saw it on the south side. They saw the same mountain, but they saw different things. So there's different ways, of course, to see things. And everybody has their own experiences. So our offenses will divide people. Let's go look at here of a story. No matter who we are or how expert we think we are as spiritual people, no matter how old we become as a Christian, how dedicated we've gone to church, and whatever, how many books you've read and how many times you read the Bible, you can still get offended. There's not going to be a time when you say, you know what, hey, listen, I'm done with offenses. I don't ever have them anymore. I don't ever get hurt. I always get along with everybody. You know? And I understand everybody. So no, there's always just going to be something. So we can either be the one causing their hurt, or we can be the one that caused other people to be hurt too. So people get injured, injure us, and we injure other people. It seems to be Paul got offended here with a situation with these two men, as we read in the scripture when we started out in our text, about John Mark's lack of commitment in the ministry. Don't you get mad at people when they're not committed to something that you have? They don't love something like you do? No? So let's go read here from Acts chapter 15, verse 36 to 40, the New Living Translation. Acts 15, 36 to 40. I know a lot of you like to sometimes read the King James, but when I'm teaching, I read the King James, but I don't always teach in it. Because sometimes these translations, they miss out on different words, and you know, you have to read. If you have to be a student of the Bible. When I first got born again, I got saved under Billy Graham's crusade and Billy Graham ministry, and he would send me material all the time, and they gave me to read the Good News Bible, because as a baby, blah, 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 blah. But I started to read. When I got to some old-time Pentecostals, they said, oh, the King James, the only one, that's what Jesus used. So I started reading the King James, and I didn't know what I was reading for years. I thought I was unspiritual, wasn't getting it. So anyways, for you guys, I'm sorry, I'm reading the watered-down version here, the New Living Translation. Okay. After some time, Paul and Barnabas, let's go back to visit each city where we previously preached the word of the Lord. and see how their new believers are doing. Verse 37, Barnabas agreed and wanted to take John Mark. Verse 38 says, but Paul disagreed strongly since John Mark had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in their work. So you can see Paul was mad because this John Mark, it says, deserted them. I'd be offended if somebody deserted. We started a job and you left. Huh? Right? I mean, we start church. I mean, I can think of many times we start things. We train people. In fact, we send away to Texas or somewhere else. We spend money on them. We invest the time, spend time, sit down with them, send them away to get training, to come back. And they said, no, we're going to go to another church now. That happened. Or we invested time and training on people, and they do this and that, and then, they're supposed to take over a program, and they said, no, I decided to leave. I'm going to another church. That happened over and over again. You can tell how much hurt I have had. I had to get over so many things, so many disappointments. You know. So anyway, it's you have to keep your heart clean, right? If you don't, it'll kill you. Or you'll kill somebody. Either one. Okay, so it says in here, verse 39, their disagreement, Paul and Barnabas here, became so sharp that they separated. You know, I think sometimes it's good to separate, especially if you're going to kill yourself, each other. Just cool it for a while, right? So Barnabas took John Mark and he sailed to Cyprus. And verse 40 says, Paul chose Silas as he left. And as he left, the believers entrusted him to the Lord's work. So the TPT translation says this about verse 39. It became a heated argument between them, and disagreement was so sharp they separated and parted from each other, right? So that, you know, this happens. There can be so much disagreement in churches, especially in churches, that it affects people, and the devil wants exactly that to happen. He wants all of us to be mad, especially at the pastor, the leadership, so that you don't come there. I had people say over the years, I'm not coming to your church because somebody's in that church I don't like. And so they're mad, and some people get mad at me because I don't do what they want me to do. So they're not coming back. So we work better in harmony. We're stronger together, right? So the enemy uses offense to hold you in captivity so that you don't get to work with people. You don't get to walk with them and fellowship with them. You don't get to do projects and see something. Like people who were here from beginning to end, last 3 years, they saw us, the last 10 years or more. We started the church. We put our workers in there, our trained workers. And we bought the building. Now they have a building. They're all rejoicing. You saw how wonderful that is, right? It's wonderful to have projects done like that. It's so good. People are happy. Even in the world, I've had people who don't go to church. They thought that's wonderful. You did it. Some guy one time asked me, "How do you run this place? You guys don't sell anything?" Do you get any grants? No, we don't get no grants. We get grace from the Lord. You know, people wonder how they do that because it's people's love made this place happen, right? So we need to learn to work together. Ministry is hard work, so we got to learn how to work in hard times. You know, I heard someone said yesterday, sometimes I have to do things I don't want to do so that I can get to the place where I want to enjoy. You get to do things that you don't want to do. A lot of times you don't want to do certain things. But you get to, sooner or later, and one of my mentors told me years ago, we sat in the office and we had, you know, mentorship. We used to have mentorship once a month and over a two-year period. Every month I had mentorship, and I'm glad I had that training. It stabilized me. They said, right now, you can play now and pay later. Or you can pay now and play later. What do you want to do? And asked me, so why would someone come in your church? My mentor said, why would somebody want to come there when there's other churches all around? So we had to work really hard to start training people. So we instituted a training program once a month to train workers together. And we continued that. We used to call it Ministry Helps Training, but we changed it to leaders now so that they can learn how to work together. So sometimes you don't get to do everything you want to do, even in church. Some people say, well, I don't shake hands. I'm a singer. You know, well, you can shake hands and sing at the same time. You're coordinated enough. Here's a couple of people. Paul tells us God wants us to be in harmony. Philippians chapter 4, verse 2 and 3 says, I appeal to Euodia and Syntyche. I don't know how you, is that the right pronunciation? Euodia? Well, I'd fight with her too if her name was that. No. Euodia and Syntyche. Please, because you belong to the Lord, settle your disagreement. Don't you want to tell your friends that? Or people? Yes. Verse 3, I ask you, my dear partner, to help these two women. They work hard with me in telling others the good news. They work along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are written in the book of life. So these people here, these two women, they work very hard along with Clement, co-workers. So they were people who were, they learned how to agree with people. You don't always have to agree with everything. Now, if I was, doing something illegally, if I'm telling you to do something that's not Bible or illegal or immoral, then you don't have to do it. Or even in your marriage. You know, you don't have to do everything they tell you to do. You have to follow God's ways, the Word of God. So, here, another one. This is Philippians. So the churches and leaders should hold programs to develop people, develop their minds, develop their skills. You must be willing to be committed to being taught. And I used to tell people like this all the time. I said, ministry of helps can be detrimental to your health, mental health, and spiritual health. Because when you don't have training, you can get offended and hurt because you misunderstand people. You don't know how to work with various types of people. When you work in church, you have to work with every kind of personalities. And not everybody sees everything the way you see it. So we have to work with different ones so we learn to work with one another and put up with each other. The Bible says, Paul tells the church there at Colossae, he says, learn to put up with one another. Learn to put up with their idiosyncrasies, one version says. Not everybody comes fully packaged and just nice. When they get saved, as God, they bring a lot of package with them. Let's throw that off. Let's get rid of that thing. Let's get rid of that thing. And so all of a sudden you have this product along the line somewhere. Brother Hagin taught us, he says, you know, teach people, give them the word to where you want them to be in 5 years. Teach them. Teach the people, give them the word where you were, where your faith or your spirituality wants them to be in 5 or 10 years, what they're going to look like. That's the word you give them now. So I don't teach my favorite subjects. I have to teach everything. As a pastor, you teach everything. Particularly people problems. Brother Higgins says one of the greatest things in Christianity is soul development. That has to do with people skills, learning how to learn to be introspective, learning how to look into your own self and arrange yourself on the inside and get ready for people and learn to work with people and have skills. And learn to understand people and not be offended, not to be hurt. That's a big skill. But some people don't take the time. They just come to church. I just want to hear something. They're not interested in getting the gospel out. Just want to attend. So, but we want you to be a participant so that we can work together. And the more in harmony we can step together out to do projects and do stuff, we can be stronger. And we can be an impact in our city. Right? We don't want to just say, look at those little guys. What can they do? So we don't know it all. We have to have skills. So some people don't see any reason to train. And so they get up and end up in trouble with other people. They misunderstand. They have regrets. And they get hurt. And they leave. And they stay trapped. So now they close themselves off, as the scripture says. An offended brother becomes like a person who has built walls around themselves. And they can't get out. And they won't let you in to their lives. And that can happen when you meet somebody, if you're dating somebody. They're mad at everybody. They're mad at their parents. They're mad at the institution. They're mad at Trudeau. You know? So they're mad at everyone. You don't want to end up with people like that. Let's go to Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 10 and 13, three verses. Paul's talking about here some more Christians who needed to get along. He says, I appeal to you, this is the New Living Translation, I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Then he writes a second letter, he says, what didn't you understand about living in harmony? I think about something wonderful I was thinking about yesterday. I was reading in chapter 12, the book of Acts, and how God got Peter out of jail. Now listen, you know, if you're trapped in offense, I mean, think about it spiritually, this story I'm telling you, because Peter was in jail. He went to jail, he was preaching the gospel. No matter if you do right or do good, you can still get in trouble in this world. You can serve God and still get into trouble. And still have financial trouble. And still somebody could get mad at you. Somebody says, do good, and people will think all kinds of bad things about you, but do good anyway. So anyway, Peter, he's in jail for preaching the gospel. Now, he's chained. Everybody say chained. So he's chained, and you can't go too many places with chains. And he's there with two soldiers on each side of him. You can't go anywhere with two people beside you. Two soldiers and chained. And he's in jail. And the Bible says there's barred doors in there. He's in the inner prison. He's in with barred doors. They have these big chains and all these locks going through outside to the door. And they have more guards. And the Bible said an angel appeared to him. Everybody said an angel. An angel is a special messenger. And he taps Peter. He says, Peter, get up. Peter gets up, and he says the chains fell from his hands. I guess those soldiers were sleeping. Huh? He wakes him up. He says, come on, pick up your coat. Put your coat on, your shoes. Hurry. So he got up his stuff, gathered his stuff up. He's wondering all the time, is this real? Is this real? He doesn't know if it's real. How many people know when you're getting blessed by God, you don't know if it's real or not? I can tell you, when I had spiritual experience with God, I was wondering, is this real? When I got filled with the Holy Spirit, I just went out into another realm. I thought, what is this? And it felt so good. It felt like I went to heaven. Went out to a different realm when I was filled with the Spirit. Just heard the Spirit and so on. And I came back to this world. I was unaware of the world. So Peter had the same experience. So he's free now. He got out to the out of the prison. The Bible says that the doors just open up. With the angels walking, the doors just open up, and Peter walked out. So he's out. Then he said, this is not a dream. You know, the psalm says, when everything goes right in your life, it's like a dream. When you're free, when you're set free, he said it's gonna be like a dream. Right? It's like a dream. And so Peter said, I gotta go to John Mark's home. So he went over to John Mark's place and knocked on the door, and a woman by the name of Rhoda from Mary Tyler Moore. She was at the door waiting for him. Some of you know who Mary Tyler Moore is? Rhoda was, that's what I think about Rhoda. When I hear about Rhoda, oh, that's her. And she looked out and saw Peter. That's Peter. She said, heard his voice and everything. She got so excited, she left him there. Went back into her house and told him, Peter's at the door. They said, you got to be kidding. He's not here. And they're praying for him all the time. They don't even believe in their own prayer. Huh? You read the whole story. It was wonderful. What it told me this is that no matter how bad your situation is, God can move in your situation, do things beyond the natural, ordinary, if you would pray. Let me just give you this, the rest of this here. That's the rest of the story. Is this okay? I'm just talking to you, reading these scriptures. We're talking a little bit. Like, you know, this is not a fourth-year university course. You know, so this is the word of God, right? So, live in harmony with each other. Let there be no what? No divisions in the church. But the devil wants divisions. He wants disharmony. He knows if he can do that, you're weaker. You're weaker alone, and you'll be secluded away from everybody. Rather be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. That's what God wants us to have. No, it doesn't mean we dot our I at everything the same and, you know, whatever. We can have our differences, but we don't have to fight about it. In fact, you can come to the church and not even believe in tithing. Notice it gets very quiet. You know, I tell you all the time, I was the way I was taught. I wasn't thought of it as a legalism. I thought about this is what God wants. It's faith. That's the way I took it right from the beginning. And I found out it is what it is. Tithing is basically for the blessing. Right? And it's also for honor. As we honor God, you bring your money. And you believe God, even beyond that 10% will get back to you. That's the way it works. Amen. Now, I'm not a millionaire, but I have all my needs met. It's funny that I can take my check. It doesn't look like that in my bank account. God blesses me. Money comes to me by the thousands. I said, well, I'll never take, when I go to take pastor home, I make him pay now. Amen. Anyway, so some members of Chloe's household have told me about your quarrels. Here we see that word again. My dear brothers and sisters, is there quarreling going on in your house, in your office, and you're between the in the marriage situation? Quarrels going on? Well, God doesn't want quarrels. He said, and some of you are saying, I'm a follower of Paul. Others are saying, I follow Kenneth Hagin. I follow Semeschuk. I follow Steve. I follow Roma. He says, I follow Peter. I follow Apollos, he says, first, and Peter, or only, I follow only Christ. People say, you know what? I don't submit to anybody but Jesus. That's what people say, right? Well, hey, Jesus gave us the word. And you need to follow the word like everybody else. So One time I told a person we were training, he said, no, I took all that before. Where do you take that? We had that kind of thing in another church. I said, no, but we do the same here again. If you come here, you're going to take the same courses. In fact, some other people who came, older people, said, this is the way we do it here. Okay, we'll do it. You can tell that they're agreeable. They want to live in harmony. You don't come to a church. I'm not saying that because some of you here, but I'm saying, you go to church, that people go to some church and say, I'm going to change everybody. You won't. We'll run you off so quick. No. No, that's a different attitude, right? You come and help people. That's the way you are. So, and live in harmony. That's what we're talking about. And he says here, has Christ been divided to factions? Was Paul crucified for you? Were any of you baptized in the name of Paul? Well, of course not. So God wants no division. He wants the church to be in harmony, live in harmony. If that's possible, is it possible? Yes, it's possible because God asked us to. It's possible for me and you to live in harmony. So in this event here, Paul's first missions trip, he didn't want to take John Mark because John Mark abandoned him. We saw that in Acts, over our tracks in the chapters we see here. I don't want to go into the whole thing, discourse of it, but because this happened, I can show you scriptures all the way down from the beginning when they met John Mark. But he let them go. So there was that sharp discussion between people. So God always wants us to bless our offender. He wants us to be nice to people. Even if we've been offended, go against your feelings. Because your feelings lie to you. And if you think wrong, you're going to feel wrong. If you don't scripture, you're going to think out of scripture. You're not going to think like God. God's ways are higher. He says, go and pray for your enemies and bless those people who hurt you. That's out of this world. You can't do that on your own. You need God's help to help you do that. We need God's grace to love people who are difficult and who've hurt us. And now, it doesn't mean that people take extremes and they think this, they say, well, pastor says, just love everybody. Listen, use your wisdom. Don't bring everybody into your circle who's going to hurt you. Stay away from people. And learn to have, protect yourself. Right? So that's why we have policies and rules. Like if you're going to be part of this here, we have rules to being involved in church activity and work, and we have all these things to protect ourselves, and we have policy manuals to help us with that, working in the church. When someone goes out of whack. I didn't mean to say that, but I'm not thinking about anybody in particular. I'm looking at Pastor Dave right here, but he doesn't go out of whack. This is only when the Holy Spirit gets on him. Like, he gets a little bit hot, right? So God wants it. Let me just close here. Give me 30 seconds. Stretch it out a little bit here. We're going to take communion in a minute, so guys. So how do you treat your enemy, the person who offended you? The Bible says you go the extra mile. I said, you go the extra mile. I don't think you heard me. I said, you go the extra mile, right? So you go beyond normal expectations when someone hurts you. Because you're not doing this on your own. You're doing this with the love of God and the power of God. You can't just love people on your own power. You have to love with the power of God, with the love of God. We have to act extraordinary. Let me read you what Jesus said over here in Luke chapter 6. Starting from verse 27. He says, but you who are willing to listen, I say, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. That doesn't make sense, does it? Doesn't make human sense. Love your enemies, do good to them who hurt you. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who hurt you. I don't think that's going to feel good right away. If someone slaps you on one cheek, offer the other cheek. Oh, that sounds like one of those crazy resting things. You ever see those? You just, we should have one of those contests here. Slap each other. No, we won't. Okay. If someone demands your coat, offer him your shirt also. You should put parentheses, except if it's winter. Give to anyone who asks you, and when things are taken away from you, don't try to get it back. You mean to say, don't call the cops? Well, do to others as you would have to like them to do to you. If you only love those who love you, why should you get any credit for it? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good only to those who do good to you, why should you get any credit? Even sinners do that much. And if you lend money only to those who can repay you, why should you get credit? Even sinners will lend to others for full return. Love your enemies, he says, verse 35. Do good to them who lend to them without expecting to be repaid. Then your reward from heaven will be great, very great. And you'll truly be acting as children of the Most High, for he is kind to those who are unthankful and wicked, and you must be compassionate just as your Father is compassionate. You can't do this on your own. The Bible says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. We have to practice a golden rule. Love never fails. We have to walk in love. Everything falls under this love when offense comes our way. We must be at peace. And talking about the leaders who offend you and perhaps maybe offended you, we can use the scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5:13. Esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake and be at peace among yourself. He's talking about people working with other people. Be at peace. Be at peace with people. Have no hurts in your heart. Don't be shipwrecked. Because people have kept their hurts and end up having shipwreck faith. So they're kind of wandering around. What's happening in my life? No, let's be purposeful and live purposeful with Jesus. Amen?